Chinese interest rates go up, how's that going to affect their economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us in the United States. Today, China's central bank raised interest rates for the first time in nearly 3 years. The official explanation was to combat inflation and to, quote, soak up excessive market liquidity. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmidt says it's just another way to say we need to slow this Chinese economy down.
The quarter of a percent hike comes one day before China's set to release third quarter GDP growth figures. Coincidence? Nope.
The data is going to be a little bit hotter than they would like, and they're signaling they'd like things to cool off a little bit more.
Economist Andy Rothman says China's on its way to ending the year with double-digit GDP growth. For a country like the U.S., that would be great. Here's why it's not for China.
Rising inequality, damage to China's environment, a lot of dependence on imported energy and raw materials.
Not too long ago, China was in double-digit GDP growth territory with help from exports to Europe and the U.S. Now there are other factors, including a red-hot property market some fear could crash. Rothman thinks this rate hike will have a gradual impact. Lending in China follows strict quotas set by the Communist Party. This lack of a market-driven banking system means interest rate hikes here tend not to ripple throughout the economy as much as they do in the U.S. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Britain is preparing to make the deepest cuts in its public spending in more than half a century. Later today, the UK's finance chief will unveil budget cuts worth more than $130 billion. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what's the global significance of this move?
Well, Britain is the first big country since the financial crisis to tackle its budget deficit in a really drastic way. The UK deficit is about 10% of GDP, not the biggest in the world. In fact, the US deficit is probably bigger now. But these cuts will be watched closely by other big, heavily indebted countries that may soon have to tackle their own deficits as well, not least the United States.
Do we know, Stephen, precisely where the axe is going to fall?
We already know that defense spending is going to be cut by 8%. Welfare is going to take a huge hit. For example, the amount of money to help poor people with their housing is likely to be cut in half. Probably the biggest impact, though, will be seen in employment. The government expects almost 500,000 public sector jobs will be lost through these cuts. Now, the government hopes that the private sector will rise to the challenge and create that many extra jobs. But there's an obvious risk here, and critics of the cuts say they'll be counterproductive. They'll tip Britain back into recession, and that won't reduce the deficit. It'll make it worse.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
It is the second day of some violence in areas around Paris. Rioters have been breaking shop windows and hurling stones at police today. The chaos comes as part of nationwide strikes in France, part of big protests there over the government's plans to raise the retirement age from 60 to 62. Let's do the numbers. Global markets are all over the place at the moment. Chinese interest rate hike is rippling through stock markets around the world. European shares are flat right now, but Asian shares tumbled. Wall Street yesterday, stocks were down more than a percent. Investors were disappointed with earnings from Apple and IBM, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ fell nearly 2%. The Dow gave back 169 points to close below 11,000 at 10,978.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
In recent years, India has made headlines by making and selling items smaller and cheaper. There's the $2,500 car, the $35 computer. The country is also home to a novel approach to low-cost solar power. Reporter Raymond Thibodeau takes us to the tiny village of Telonia.
In this sunlit workshop, Tenzing Chonzon solders parts onto a device that regulates electrical currents. It'll eventually be connected to a solar panel, allowing it to power everything from lamps to laptops.
I was chosen by my community to come here to learn about solar technology. I can take the knowledge back to the villages in the Himalayan foothills where I live. There, many people still don't have access to electricity.
Chonsom is 50 years old and one of two dozen people being trained here as solar engineers. Most have had no formal education. It's all part of a program aimed at helping India's rural poor by teaching them to make and install low-cost solar panels. It's called Barefoot College, and so far it's trained thousands. Sanjeev Bunker Roy started the program.
You have to see how you can demystify the technology and bring it down to the community level so that they can manage, control, and own the technology.
Roy is among Time Magazine's top 100 most influential people for 2010. He says grassroots solar is crucial for India. Nearly half the country's rural population, more than 300 million people, has either no electricity or just a few hours of it. To help, Roy decided to tap into the local ingenuity he sees every day.
You'll find it everywhere in India, this infinite capacity to be able to improvise, to be able to fix things without having gone to any formal education.
Roy says Barefoot College merely provides the space for these Indian MacGyvers to develop skills and confidence to help improve their own communities. So far, the program's helped bring power to more than 450 rural villages. In Tolonia, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And to see pictures of Barefoot College trainees at work, check out our website, marketplace.org. And finally, Italian designers Dolce & Gabbana are trying to find a new market after sales there have dipped 13% this year. D&G is getting deeper into sports sponsorship. Now, they're already dressing some Italian football players. They're also putting some of their bling behind the prize fighters who are part of the Milano Thunder team. So the next time you try to buy some D&G boxers, well, there's another place to look besides the underwear section at Bloomingdale's. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Did you ever notice there's a whole lot of frozen yogurt shops around? Yeah, it's tasty stuff, not too fattening either. But did you know they're a solid tenant in a shaky real estate market?
I think that's the attraction to the landlords is you can throw in a frozen yogurt store. They'll sign a one-year lease. They're able to have a tenant while they ride out this market.
Froyopalooza next time on Marketplace. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.